I wasn't humble, I was hiding. I thought about all the times that I felt stuck. I didn't feel worthy enough. I didn't feel good enough. Baby, you better take off and start running. You better take off and start doing. You better take off and start sharing, because the world needs it the way I got it.
Right.
The world needs it the way you got it.
You are naive to believe you leave out the house, you kiss your family, whoever, I'll see you later. How do you know? Like, you gotta stop believing that tomorrow is going to come here and not maximize your today.
See, most people don't understand that there is a divine power. There is a Christ within all of us. A Christ meaning a purpose to fulfill, meaning every person on the earth has been given something that they were supposed to come down here to earth to fulfill.
How do you identify it? That's a tough thing. Like, how do I know what I'm on this earth to do?
It has to work where it has to work.
It's your host, Nehemiah Davidson. You're now tuned in the Circle of Greatness. Today, I got a super special guest. And by far, I'm going to let you guys know, she is literally the best interviewer in the world, journalist. I don't know if I'm calling it the right name, but by far, it was one of the most well-thought-out interviews. So I get to bring to you today, Brandi Harvey, entrepreneur. I want to say talk show host. I don't know if that's the correct word, but she got this amazing show, amazing network. And I'm super excited to be able to dive into her life and just how she's crushing it. And without further ado, Brandi Harvey, how you doing?
I'm so good. Yeah, it feels so weird to be on this side of the microphone.
And I feel weird because I'm like, how do I interview her and make it sound as good as the interview?
Just show up as you and we got magic. Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
I want to ask you, one of the things I take from you, you're from our conversations and things that you're deeply rooted into personal development, into God, right? Yeah. Into like a schedule, right? And I want to know how, like, why is that important right now?
Why is it important? Because preparation is the separation factor.
There we go.
Separation factor. You know, the more prepared I am, I separate myself. Leaders lead from the front.
Yeah.
And so when I start my day off with exercise and giving to myself and making sure that I set myself as the priority, when I read, when I study, when I interview people, when I show up prepared, it gives me the separation from the pack. And I think that's what's so important, and that's what's missing in this day and age, because people think that, you know, the preparation doesn't count, that you can just show up however you are and you're going to get all these exceedingly abundantly above all blessings. But there's some work that goes into this, you know, in this life we get to live.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. We're in 2024, and I believe this is the year where people are going to really reach another level. And you did a speech the other day, and I was super motivated. You won an award. I want to say probably the Mahogany Honors, I think you were talking to ladies about hiding.
Yeah.
Right. About just some people are sitting on their gifts. Some people aren't pursuing their gift. And I was moved. Like, we were talking about Ashley. I sent this to Ashley. I'm like, yo, I need you to have a signature speech when you start going places, because I was motivated by this. And I was like, I don't think that was something you prepared. It was just probably a word that you had. But how do you come out of hiding when you been knocked down, when you've been knocked down, when you've been told you won't make it? You know, some ladies been raped, right? Some ladies been going through some stuff, and you being a speaker, you motivating people, like, how do I get out of it when I feel so down, when I feel so defeated, when I don't got a bunch of people around me encouraging me? What is your word to people? Like,
you know, honestly, I want to shout out Dr. Sherry Riley. She's one of my super friends. And when I started that remarks, I wasn't expecting to give remarks. And I saw Sherry Riley before the event started. And she recently filmed my show. And while she was on the show, she talked about her journey, her successes, her failures. But she said, you know, Brandi, she said, it was so many moments on my journey that I wasn't humble. I was hiding. And that struck me in the interview. I said, wait a minute, hold up.
Yeah.
You know, she lit me on fire when she said it, because I thought about all the times I was hiding in plain sight. I thought about all the times that I felt stuck. I didn't feel worthy enough. I didn't feel good enough. I didn't feel beautiful enough. I didn't feel pretty. I didn't feel like I met the standard, that I wasn't the status quo. Yeah. And so all those moments, I shrunk down. But when I turned 40, I said to myself, I said, I am no longer going to bury my gifts. Because you know, in the story of the talents, right? The story, the biblical story of the talents, the master's given a certain, the servants these talents, you know, a certain amount of money. And so he gives them and he comes back and he says, what have you done? And two of the servants had multiplied. But one of the servants buried it. He said, I didn't do anything with it. I didn't want to mess it up. I didn't want to, you know, get all out of sorts. So I put it down here and I buried. And he said, you lazy servant. Mm. And I always took that as just like, oh, it's just burying talents and gifts. But it's a story of trust. Because God has trusted me with something. God has trusted me with this assignment. God has trusted me with this anointing. Mm. And so how dare I do him a disservice by hiding it in the world? And so when I turned 40, I said, I'm no longer burying these gifts. Yeah. So you're going to get all these gifts. You're going to get the fact that she's a speaker, that she's a reader, that she's a teacher, that she's a learner, that she's a doer, that she's a change maker. You're going to get all of this in this season of my life. Because I knew it would not be a disservice to as by playing humble, it was doing a disservice to humanity by keeping it quiet, by keeping the assignment to myself, by keeping the power to myself. And so I knew that I had to break out of hiding. And so for all those women who've been hiding in plain sight, baby, you better take off and start running. You better take off and start doing. You better take off and start sharing, because the world needs it the way I got it.
Right.
The world needs it the way you got it. It takes something special that we have that's unique to us. That if we don't share it, then we're going to what? Bury it? And God comes back and says, what you been doing? Well, I just hid it. And he says, no, I need you to let your light shine in this season.
Mm, that's good. Wow. That's powerful. And I just wish more people understand it. One of my brothers, Jabril, he says, discipline weighs ounces, regret weighs tons.
Whew, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's just like,
yeah,
you know, every day you wait, you, my mom almost died last year or whatever. Wow. I don't know if I told you that.
No, you didn't
I don't
tell
think
me
I told
this.
You, but
and I met your mom, who's so awesome. Right. She's so proud of you.
Yeah, I appreciate her.
Yeah, she's so proud of you.
So she almost died in terms of we're, I'm like, mom, I need you to go. I'm a traveler, right? But I misplaced my passport. Like, I need you to go get my birth certificate because we're from Philly. She lives in Philly, which Harrisburg is where you could just literally drive and go get your birth.
Yeah.
And if you're the mother, you could get it without a father or anything like that. So she went to, can you go get the passport or whatever? And she went out there to go get the passport. I mean, she was supposed to go get the birth certificate, never went to get it. The next day called, hey, you go get my birth certificate? Like, I'm not feeling good. And it's odd because my mom is healthy. Like, she's a holistic practitioner.
Yeah.
When I retired, my mom, those years ago, I bought her a herb store. So she's like, she's up on like her herbs and all of these things. So fast forward, she ended up getting worse. Next day I called my sister, like, what's up with mom? She's sick. She don't want to go to the hospital. Next day we took her to the hospital in the ambulance. So she rushed, we rushed her there. I'm still out of town wherever I was at. It was so bad that my wife flew in. My wife called me, you need to get here. More fast forward, my mom just went to a very sick place. She couldn't walk. She couldn't talk. She couldn't eat. She couldn't see.
Wow.
And we stayed in that hospital about 7 to 10 days. No, we couldn't figure it out. Luckily, we were able to get her on an airplane to come to Atlanta. At the time, I didn't care what it cost. Do it mean a private jet to get here? Whatever it took to get her back.
Yeah.
And she ended up being down for about 3 months. We moved her in our bedroom. Couldn't see. Like, stayed there for 3 months. Finally got better. But I always say that to say to people, are you waiting for something like that to happen to you or a loved one for you to finally see that you need to stop waiting?
Yeah.
We are naive. My brother, Inky Johnson, you interview Inky. Inky talks about emptying the bucket.
Yeah.
But he says, you are naive to believe you leave out the house, you kiss your family, whoever, I'll see you later. How do you know?
Yeah.
So it's so important. Like when you talk about coming out the hiding, like stop. Stop, like you got to stop believing that tomorrow is going to come here and not maximize your today.
Yeah.
So I think that's just such an important piece that people need to really just start tapping into.
Yeah. It's the maximizing your day.
Yeah.
Right. You know, I always tell people, you know, why I start working out in the morning is because 1 hour of your day is 4% of your day.
Yeah. 4%. You do the workout after you praise and worship about an hour.
I do.
Then
I
you do the workout.
Yeah, I command my morning.
Got it. 6:30 a.m. to praise and worship start.
I mean, honestly, I've been starting earlier. So I've been getting up earlier. Okay. And I think that's because I've been fasting off some stuff. So it's been helping me get up a lot earlier. Yeah. So I've been beating the clock.
Yeah.
You know, I've been telling people I've been beating the clock. And so I get up a little bit before 6 and I start and I'm out the house by 7:15 to hit the gym.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like in the words of Dr. Cindy Trim, I command my morning. And so I start off with prayer. I start off with affirmations. I start off, it may be a sermon. It may be, you know, gospel, whatever I'm feeling that morning that I know I need. But prayer and affirmations are the start of my day.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Why is affirmation, like so many people, why is affirmations important? I know so many people look at them like, still to this day, I say money comes to me easily, frequently, and abundantly. Everything is working out for my highest and greatest good. Like, I'm the best. I'm a leader. I'm a believer. I'm a cheat. And for some, you'd be like, yo, there's something wrong with you. But I literally talked and willed my way to everything that I'm doing and everything that's been accomplished. Yeah.
There's a frequency. There's a vibration to our words.
Yeah.
Every time, like, I understood, and it took me a while to really gather that I was so powerful.
Yeah.
You know, and I think most people don't know how powerful they are.
Yeah.
That their words have power, that there's a vibration that we carry when we speak into the world, into the earth. And so I know that it's imperative that I set my day that this is a beautiful day. This is an amazing day. I'm a captivating woman. I'm a loved woman. I'm an adored woman. I know that money comes to me easily. I am adored. I am cherished in the world. I live in abundance and overflow and all of those things, right? So every time I walk out of my door, I know I'm being met with a miracle because I've already identified that I'm the walking miracle.
That's good.
You know, I don't need nobody to turn water into wine. I do that in my own life by simply breathing, by simply showing up, by the power of laying hands. I know how to lay hands on myself. You know what I'm saying? So because I understand that I got power, I show up expecting power to be received in my day. I expect a miracle to happen. I expect blessings. When I was driving over here, God's got a blessing with my name on it.
Ooh,
you know,
talk about
I'm literally praising while I'm in the car. I'm praising while I'm in the shower because I understand that there's a frequency to that, that I know I'm going to get everything that I ask for, everything that I desire in the name of Jesus.
Yeah,
right. I know
good.
That. And it has no religiosity attached to it. I just understand the power of it. Yeah.
That's good. That's good. Let me ask you, when did you, because you said 40, you said done hiding. When did you, is that when all this understanding of this power?
Oh my God. I have known since I was a child.
Yeah.
You know, my mother knew who I was. Yeah. My mother has been speaking over me since I was a baby.
Yeah.
You know, she knew who I was. I think that I have morphed over time into this woman, you know, but there were so many moments. I've always been a servant. You know, I've always had a servant's heart. So my childhood was steeped in service and the church. You know, I'm a church girl.
Yeah.
Okay, y'all, I'm a church girl. So it was, you know, I spent most of my free time at church. And that's where I loved being.
And you did that on your own, wanting to be there.
Yeah, I mean, my grandmother was the church secretary in Cleveland, Ohio, Antioch Baptist Church. She was the church secretary for 32 years.
Yep.
So I did everything from sick and shut in to run bulletins to everything that they had a job available at church.
Yep.
I did it. And so that's what got me into public speaking because I've been speaking since I was a child, from Easter speeches on to leading prayer and worship, you know? And so I was steeped in service. And so everything from NAACP, Youth and College Division, you know, to all the things that I did in college to.
I saw even what you did with your dad's foundation.
Yeah, I was at the helm of the, when it was the Steve Harvey Foundation, when we started the mentoring camp in 2009, when we didn't have no money and no resources and we was out there in the hot in Dallas, Texas, you know, and we were starting the mentoring program in 09 and I was there until 2017 when I left. And so between that program, Girls Who Rule the World, all of those programs, you know, I'm proud to say that I had a hand in impacting those lives and the mothers and the sons and the girls who came through those programs.
Let me ask you this. Someone told me like, and I don't know, and I don't know how true, but there's like the greatest service you can ever do is to the homeless. Have you heard that?
I haven't heard that.
Oh, I didn't.
Yeah.
So I don't know, but How important, I tell people, and I think I gave you the story about how I was able to propose to my wife on your dad's show. And and essentially, Patrice was like, you never know who have the... Listen to this episode, you probably understand having one source of income is too close to none. And as one of the wealthiest people in the world, Warren Buffett says, if you don't find a way to make money in your sleep, you will work until you die. With that being said, I am finally exposing the industry to this very unique, very secretive way to make money in real estate that no one is talking about. No, I'm not talking about wholesaling. No, I'm not talking about fix and flips. No, I'm not talking about rehabs, right? No, I'm not talking about flipping contracts. I'm talking about event spaces. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to go there and show you for $300. I'm going to waive that $300 fee and give you access to my free masterclass where I'm going to show you how to find your own location. I'm going to show you how to fund your own location. I'm going to show you how to automate this entire process. The same process that I help hundreds and hundreds of people do, I'm now pulling back the curtains. I'm going to help you do the same thing. So what I want you to do right now, go to eventspacemasterclass.com right now. Go ahead and register. And as soon as you're done, go back to the episode. Once again, go to eventspacemasterclass.com. I will see you in our next class. Power to bless you, and I watch you serve.
Yeah.
So something that you and I had, we had the commonality of serving our way to success and making other people feel good and helping others. Why is that? Why do you think service is so important?
Oh, my goodness. Why is it so important? That it's to the least of these, right?
Yeah.
That's how we get blessed,
you
know? I knew that growing up because that's how my mother, like anything that needed to be done at the church, whatever, you know, my mother was raising me and my sister in my little brother's hand. Like they can do it. Brandy, Carly, Stevie, they can do it, you know? And so I learned to be selfless at a young age, but I feel like now in this age and stage of my life, it's so imperative because that's the real testament of my life, right? It's who I've been able to plant a seed with. Who I've been able to impact. That's the life.
Yeah.
You know, I think so many people are living for the resume and not the eulogy, right? Mm. You know, that story that they tell of how most people are living for the resume. I'm living for what will they say when I'm gone and I'm no longer can be in the room? Mm. What will they say about me? How did I show up? How did I bless people? How did I serve people? What words did I give? That's the importance of my life, not what I have, not who you think I am, but it's what I'm willing to do in the world.
Yeah.
That's what makes me special.
Yeah.
That's why God has given me this breath. That's why God has anointed me with this life, because I get to go do something bigger and better because I get to touch somebody else's life. Mm.
You motivate me. I'm ready to go. I'm ready. I see you, one of your speeches, you one of the keynote speakers at Social Proof. So I'm like, I'll be front and center watching that speech.
I am. You know, I recently, as of yesterday, I just got accepted to do a TED Talk.
Good.
You know, good. So.
What you going to talk about?
You know, the topic is immerse yourself. That was what you had to apply. This was an application process. So then some of y'all going to be out here, she just got it because of what her last name is. Yeah. I know some of y'all going to do it.
And I want to talk about that when you're done, too.
Listen, I already know some of y'all going to do it. But I applied and I did a video, you know, like everybody else.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's called immerse yourself. And so mine is, my topic will be on immerse yourself in you, the light that is you.
Yeah.
And so we all have this divine connection to God, to source, the universe. And we call ourselves being humble when we're hiding, but we're doing ourselves a disservice. We're doing humanity a disservice by hiding our light. And so it's important for us to let our light shine. So there'll be a spiritual undertone to my message, of course, you know, but I'm grateful for the opportunity, you know?
Yeah. And I know you, I know you go to church, go to Jamal Bryant's.
Yeah,
I know you
tap when into I change. Go, I'm a YouTube church.
Yep, you told me. Yeah. Shout out to Change. She said she'd be listening to Darius, too.
I be listening
too.
To Darius Daniels, Dr. Darius Daniels, Jamal Bryant. Yep. I listen to Sarah. Yep. I listen to who I feel is got something to feed my spirit on that day, you know?
Which is important.
Yeah, I do a lot of old school. So I be like Dr. Miles Monroe when I need a good teacher.
I heard he was the GOAT right there.
Oh, yeah. He's a teacher. Yeah. So he's like the teacher's teacher, you know? Yeah. So,
the coach's coach.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. And so I listen to those because I'm always trying to better myself. You know, I'm always trying to fortify my spirit because I know that when my cup is full, right? Other people get blessed because my cup is full and I'm not running on reserve. And so many people are running on their reserve.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna run on my reserve. Yeah. I got a full. I live in the overflow.
Yeah, that's
you know, God has given me so much that I'm just thankful to be in the overflow of life. And so because I live in the overflow, baby, what? I cannot win, you know? I can't not win, yeah, you know?
That's yeah. Good. Yo, I've had the privilege to help hundreds and hundreds of people all around the world open up their own profitable event spaces utilizing my signature formula. Number one, how to find a space. Number two, how to fund the space and how to automate the space. I've been in Atlanta, Georgia now living for 2 years. My spaces are still in Philadelphia operating, doing extremely well because we use the same exact formula that I break down, right? If you're interested in learning how we can help you, I want you to go to eventspacesecrets.com, watch a training or book a call with our team to see if you are a good fit. Again, this is for you specifically if you're looking for other ways to leverage your money and turn that into other streams of income, right? I don't believe there's a better time than right now for you to get tapped into the information in the game that can help you. So again, go to eventspacesecrets.com, watch the training, or book a call with our team to see if you're a good fit for this opportunity. Let's go. So I want to, you just mentioned something about getting your TED talk, and I didn't want to use my name. And I asked you something else when I was talking about, hey, share with me some of your big interviews. And I was like, well, seemed like you probably could call your dad and say, yeah, I want to interview yeah. this. Why, and I'm curious, why do you, like, I'm gonna go get it on my own? Is that because I'm like, hopefully I become something one day and my kids will just call me like, can yeah. you set this up now? I do want, you had to work. It's not like you unwilling to work. You got the work ethic. You got the preparation. Yeah. It's not like I'm asking for a handout on something. I'm working, Dad. I'm yeah. working, Mom. Like, yeah. I'm putting that work in, but that connection just may make it easy. Why wouldn't you tap into stuff like that?
Well, it's not that I don't use okay. it, right? Okay. And I know that my name affords me a lot of opportunities. It allows me to get in rooms that a lot of people might just dream of,
yeah.
you know, and I'm fortunate because of that. But I also know that the work is what's going to keep me in the room.
Yeah.
The work
yeah.
is what's going to get people to have a word of mouth effect about me,
yeah.
right? Because maybe
we talking
hard...
about you. Me and Shans on the phone the other day about the interview yeah. and Terica.
Listen, yep. like, mm-hmm. yeah, the Harvey name may get you to come and sit with me.
Yeah.
But when you leave from out of my presence, you're going to understand that that's Brandy Harvey sitting right there.
Yeah.
You're going to understand that, mm-hmm. wait a minute, she got something on her that ain't her daddy.
Yeah.
She got something on her that can't nobody touch
yeah.
because that's only something that she could have done because I know whose I really am.
Right.
See, most people get so caught up on the name and the connection. But baby, I'm tapped into the ultimate source.
Yeah.
So how am I waiting on somebody to give me something when God has already anointed me? He's already prepared my shoulders enough to carry what I have been designed to carry.
Wow.
And so it's not about tapping in. Yeah, my dad can come do the show, but I want him to come to the show when it's already been built.
Mm.
I want him to come, not saying that he had to come and drop a dime on it to build it,
yeah.
to make it be what it is. No, I want when he comes to sit in that seat across from me, he gonna come and know Brand. This the house that Brandy Harvey built,
that's
not the
good.
One that I built for her.
Yeah. Ooh. Got noted now. Say
yeah.
no more. No, I like
mean,
that.
You know what I'm saying. Some of y'all, and you know what? And I understand that, right?
Yeah.
I understand that so many people are.
You've
like,
been getting that a lot, probably.
Well, I think.
I mean, throughout life.
I think, yeah, sometimes, yeah, people automatically assume, well, you should be here and you should be there. And
yeah.
you should. I'm exactly where God is supposed to have me.
That's good.
I'm exactly where I'm supposed to yeah. be.
Because I could see that could be pressure when people start comparison. And
oh, listen.
Like, I see LeBron, the amount of pressure on his son.
Bronny and Bryce? Yeah.
Yeah, it's like for them to.
Yeah, yeah.
They're not be, LeBron.
Yeah.
We're all separate yeah. people.
I mean, yeah. my dad has big shoes. He's yeah. done a major, major thing in his life that is for him.
Yep.
And I'm blessed because of him. I'm blessed because that's my father. I'm blessed because the lane that he's carved out, the torch that he's been able to carry, the trail that he's been able to blaze, I'm blessed because of that.
Yeah.
right? But I also understand that I've been sent here with a task myself. Mm-hmm. I've been sent here on an assignment that I'm supposed to fulfill. And it's not going to be Steve Harvey that stands on the final day of my life. Facts. I got to stand up for myself. And when God says, what have you done? Baby, he's going to say, good job, my good and faithful servant. Yeah. He's going to say, job well done. He's going to say, race well run. Yeah. That's what he's going to say. And Steve Harvey can't stand up there for me. I got to give an account for everything that I've done in my life. Yeah. And I think there's so many people in this culture, they are waiting to ride somebody else's wave. Baby, there's enough water in the whole ocean for you to go tap in and ride a wave and create a wave of your own.
Oh, that's a fact. And let me add, you are convicted.
Yeah.
Like you are.
Yeah.
How do I develop conviction? like there's somebody listening. I'm somewhat convicted, but when I talk about my stuff, I'm convicted. But there's so many, it goes back to your hiding concept, right? But how do I get convicted about this thing now? Because I'm ready to jump out of this seat, go do something right now, go make something happen. But how do I think so many, I don't know if it's lack of confidence, but the conviction I feel when you talking, I'm like, oh, she mean everything she's talking about.
Yeah.
How are you, as you being a speaker, how are you transmitting that to people to make them, because there's someone listening who could be so much more they can be. They came out of hiding, but they're still like timid. They're still like, you like, no, we gonna go make this thing happen by any means necessary.
Yeah.
Like, how do I gather that or become that?
Do the work. Do the work.
Yeah.
You know, most people think they're just going to jump out there and you an instant overnight success.
Yeah.
We live in this microwave generation. Everybody want to hit 1 minute and you supposed to be popping.
Yeah.
Everybody want to hit 30 seconds and you supposed to, you know, be that girl, be that guy, you know, like it's about doing the work.
Yeah.
You know, I've gone through years of therapy, years of self-development, years of tapping into who has God called me to be?
Yeah.
You know, who am I supposed to be in this world? Who am I supposed to be in this season?
Yeah.
And most people want to skip the step of the work, of the internal work. See, we want the cars and we want the jewelry and we want the fashions and we want all the things. But the real work is what's happening on the inside. See, most people don't understand that we can do all the stuff on the outside. We can make all the stuff on the outside look good, but the inside is a mess. And so I had to understand that no matter who I was, no matter what name came with me, no matter all the things that I had to go in and find out, who is Brandy? Who is God called Brandy to be? What has God assigned me in this season? What has God called me to do? How can I see, when you talk about conviction, you talk about power. That is a belief.
Yeah.
See, I believe it because I live it. I believe it because I do it. I believe it because this is who I am. See, I don't have to go make nothing up. I don't have to go forge no signature. I already know what's mine. Mm. I already know what I got in me. It ain't just on me, it's in me.
Right.
See, that's the part when you talk about conviction. I believe it because I do it. I'm not going to give you no recipe and I ain't tried it out for myself.
Right.
And I perfected it.
That's good.
See, most people out here just trying to give you something because they saw it on Instagram and, oh, a meme I saw and something I saw on Facebook and something I saw. No, I'm giving you everything that I have walked through. I have walked through the fire to be this woman.
That's good.
And so the conviction, because I understand that I'm powerful. See, most people don't understand that there is a divine power. There is a Christ within all of us. A Christ meaning a purpose to fulfill, meaning every person on the earth has been given something that they were supposed to come down here to earth to fulfill.
How do you identify it? That's a tough thing. Like, how do I know what I'm on this earth to do?
I think that is sitting with yourself. It's getting alone. It's getting quiet. See, we don't want to turn off the noise. We don't want to put the phone down.
Yeah.
You know, in 2017, I went and I did a silent meditation retreat.
Yep. How long was that?
I did 5 days.
That's no phone, right?
No phone, no talking.
Yeah.
Like you got on a lanyard that says, Brandy, I'm in silence. Because there are people at the, you know, facility. This was in the mountains of Boone, North Carolina. I was going through this change. I had left the foundation. And I remember I kept saying, you know, I need a Stella got her groove back moment, right? I need to go get my groove back. I said, oh, I'm gonna go, you know, get on some beach and have a cocktail and, you know, get a Winston, you know what I'm saying, you know, and get something popping, right? And I remember, you know, it was 1 o'clock in the morning. I was on my laptop and the Holy Spirit said, to get what you've never had, you got to be willing to do what you've never done.
Yeah.
And I started looking up these silent meditation retreats. And I said, oh, no, God, I know that can't be what you really mean. Yeah. I went and got in the shower.
Yeah.
I got in the shower and it kept replaying, to get what you've never had, you got to be willing to do what you've never done. I got up at 5 o'clock that morning. I went to the gym. I was working out at Effect Fitness at the time. Shout out to Dooley over at Effect Fitness. And I'm driving down 20 at the time. And again, the Holy Spirit said, to get what you've never had, you got to be willing to do what you've never done.
Yeah.
I go back and I start Googling these silent meditation retreats. So I found one that was in like Big Sur, California. Deepak Chopra had been there. Oprah, I said, this got to be the one. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. If Oprah was there, yeah, baby, I know this is the one. Yeah. So I go and I call the place. Now, this thing is expensive now, yeah. Neo. You know, they was getting some coins. Yeah. Okay. So I call the people, and when I called, they didn't really have no answers. You know, when you about to spend that much money, baby, you got to be able to tell me something quick.
100%.
FAQs got to be ready, okay? And they was not ready. Yeah, yeah. And so I said, okay. So I called this other place. It was
how much was it too?
Like it was like probably grand? About like $4,000.
Oh, all right. It wasn't as bad. All right.
It was like $4,000 for like a 3 day.
Got it. Okay. Yeah.
Right. It
okay.
was like 3 days yeah, yeah, for like, it was like $4,000.
All right.
So, and this was the low.
When you think of Oprah, I'm like, man, it was.
Oh, yeah. I wasn't going to stay where she probably stayed. That was like a one bedroom situation. Yeah. It was right like a little.
Yeah.
So this was $4,000 and it was in like a little room, you know? And so I was like, you know what? Okay. So God says, I go on the computer. I find the Art of Living Center. It's in Boone, North Carolina. I said, Boone? Who want to go to Boone? That could not be God. This cannot be the place.
Right.
And I call them and it was so much cheaper, like a third of the cost for like 5 days.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, this got to be some foolishness, right?
Yeah.
And I call them and they were so knowledgeable, just so excited, like, oh my God, yes, thank you for calling. Knew everything. I gave them my card. I said, that's where I'm going. I go, my mom was in town at the time. My sister was at my house. And I was like, I'm doing a silent meditation retreat. They were like, why would anybody want to do that? And my mother was like, I got to watch the news. I got to be able to do something. You can't do nothing. I was like, no, you can't do nothing. I go to the silent meditation retreat and Neo, it was one of the things. I stood on that mountain and I knew exactly why God had placed me here. I said, I am no longer a victim to other people's opinions. I am no longer a victim to other people's thoughts and expectations and their ideas. I mean, I literally sat on that mountain and had my encounter with God. Mm. And I was in silence for 5 days and it was meditation and yoga and all these things for 5 days. And that was when I started Beyond Her, which is an active wellness brand for women of color. After that, I started writing my weekly newsletter. And that was the basis of when I wrote my book, Breakthrough Sold Separately, because I had to go pay for the breakthrough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good. Let me ask you a question, because you mentioned God a few times. When God talked to you, what does that mean? Because I hear it from a lot. I'm like...
Yeah.
You're like, hi, Brent. Like, I'm like, is it just I'm getting signed? Like, there's certain things that happen. I'm like, oh, yeah, that was you, God.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, I got to get to a place. I know I'm about to miss the airplane and it's delayed 7 minutes. I'm like, it had to be God. It's just certain things but I'm not getting a message like, yo, Neo.
Yeah.
Like, so what does, I hear it's different for everybody, but what does that mean? Like when God talks to you?
I don't think it's an audible. I think it comes in winks and whispers, you know, in winks and whispers, you know, it's the small still voice. You know, God's voice sounds a lot like our voice, right? It's that voice on the inside of us. It's that gut feeling. It's that intuition. It's that discernment.
There we go.
It's all of those things, right? It's understanding that God is nearer than our hearing and our breathing, because God is inside of us. Mm. We're always looking for God to come outside of us, that I'm looking for this thunder to roll and the lightning to clap and all these things. But God is right here inside of us. He's here. And so when we tap into the stillness, when we get quiet, that's when we get to hear God's voice. And we're looking for the audible. And God is like, I'm giving you the whispers. Yeah. I'm giving you the winks. I'm giving you the nods. I'm telling you the direction to go, but you have to turn everybody else off so you can tune and turn me up. Mm. But most of us don't want to get quiet. So we're not in meditation in the morning. We're not having that quiet time in the morning. We're not setting our day off. We sitting in the bed, we scrolling on Instagram. We waiting on somebody. Oh, when he gonna send me that good morning, beautiful text.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm. We look into all these different things for the outside voice. But God is like, if you just start your day, I'm going to set and direct your steps in your path every single time. But it requires us to get quiet. We can't hear it. That's why, you know, when you talk of like, when we hear stories of in the Bible, right? In Jesus, and Jesus always went away to pray.
Yeah.
He always left the disciples. When the disciples were in the boat and they were stuck in the storm, where was Jesus? Jesus was off praying. He had to go be alone. He had just performed miracles. Oh. After the miracles, every time Jesus performed a miracle, what did he do? He went away to be alone. He went in the garden. He went in the mountains. He went to be by himself. You know why? Because he had to go hear from God. He had to go hear the voice. But most of us don't want to break away long enough to hear that voice. Mm. Most of us don't want to break and turn people off, because if we turn some people off, we will get turned away from them.
Mm. What you mean turn people off? Just so like saying things,
turn their voice off.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
We're constantly looking for what do they say?
That's a fact.
You know,
yeah.
Like DJ Khaled, he'd be like, they say, what did they say?
Yeah.
Who are they? You know, they said we shouldn't drink water. They said we should, you know, all the things that they say,
yeah.
Right? But God said.
Hey, stop what you're doing. I know you're watching this episode. I want you to go to 7figurevirtualeventebook.com. I'm gonna say it again, 7figurevirtualeventebook.com. I had the privilege this year to help multiple people do 6 and 7 figure days leveraging virtual events. And I put together a 7-step process that's gonna walk you through a step-by-step. And once you're done with that book, if you're like, Neil, I wanna learn this a lot more in a deeper sense, I want you to go to mastermindwithneil.com. This is one pillar of my mastermind, right? We got 5 different pillars that we teach. This is just one pillar, how to dominate virtual events, right? So if you're interested, go to mastermindwithneil.com and book a call with my team to see if you are a good fit to join our mastermind. Let's go.
But you don't hear God until you get quiet. You don't hear God until you get alone, until you turn everything off. You know, there are so many moments in my day where I know that I have to sit and have to get quiet. There's nothing going on in my house. There's nothing going on when I'm sitting at my desk. Even before, I literally was about to go into a pre-production meeting with my team a few weeks ago. And literally we had a meeting at 3:30. It was 3:24 on the clock. I said, oh, I gotta switch gears. I gotta change my mindset. I gotta move into something else. I did a 5-minute meditation. I put on a 5-minute meditation and I instantly switched my vibration. I instantly switched my mindset. So guess what? 3:29, I turned on that Google Meet and I was ready to be who I was supposed to be for them,
yeah,
in that moment.
That's
but
good.
We have to allow ourselves to give 15 minutes, 20 minutes to set our day to say, wait a minute, I deserve this time because I got to hear something that the world can't hear. I got to tap into something that the world cannot be tuned in and have an opinion on. I got to tune into the voice of God.
That's good.
Yeah.
Did you learn, is these your main takeaways from therapy? What was your biggest takeaways from therapy?
Ooh, how much time we got? What time is on the clock? Okay, let me look at the clock. Okay.
I want to start doing therapy. I did relationship therapy.
Yeah, you told me that on the interview. Yeah you told me that.
I think,
yeah,
I need to start doing, just talk to somebody. Like,
yeah.
You know, this is what's going on in my mind. This is what's happening in my life.
Yeah.
Because some things I don't tell everybody.
Yeah, know? We so can't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even my wife and my mom.
We can't.
Certain things, yeah, is just...
They're for us.
Like, if I'm going through some stuff, I ain't telling my wife to stress her or my mom. If I was going through something that could, I'm not going to tell you.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't tell me what you're going through.
Yeah.
If you can't fix it, I ain't telling it to you because it's not, how is that? If I was going through something financially, I'm not. I'm just saying if I was. Yeah. And if I take care of my mom and my wife and it's like, hey, guys, man, we got to, like, what? They ain't helping. If my mom and wife, they're more, my mom do whatever. My wife is a housewife, you know, she gets to do what she does. But it's not like, all right, I'm about to go devise a plan. There's no point of putting no stress on you. So certain things I need to go share with a professional like that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it took me a long time to get to therapy, you know? It took me a minute. You know, I remember when I graduated college, I remember I told my dad, I was standing at his place in LA right after graduation, and I said, I need therapy. And he was like, Black people don't have time for therapy. Move on. Suck it up and move on.
Yeah.
And at 22 years old, I said, oh, you just suck it up and move on.
Yeah.
And so for
all that came from your father.
Because that generation of we don't talk about it. Yeah. We don't tell our business. We sweep everything under the rug. Our business is our business. What happens in this house stays in this house. And so many people who are listening, you know, have experienced that. And I remember at 22 for that setting such a precedence in my life of saying, you just suck it up and get over it. And I kept going all those years and I couldn't get over it. It wasn't enough prayer. It wasn't enough falling down at somebody's altar. It wasn't enough. I didn't have the tools. Mm. And so when I turned 33 years old, I made it my mission. It was one of the things that I said I wanted to do.
Wow,
and
11 years later, though.
Yeah, I started on that journey. Yeah. And by the time 2016, 2017, I was in therapy every week. And I started on that journey 2016, 2017 of going to weekly therapy. Shout out to Dr. Joy, who really, you know, guided me in that season of my life. And I was committed to every week.
You do a physical or Zoom or virtual?
So up until the pandemic, yes, it was physical. Every week on that couch.
Nice.
And then once the pandemic hit, I was sitting on Zoom. And, you know, so now I'm not in every week, but I do check in and I get recalibrated.
Yeah.
But I think that, you know, one of my biggest takeaways was there are people that the helpers are here.
Hmm.
And we're so afraid to ask for help because we want to not let everybody know that there's a weakness or a limitation or a vulnerability.
Yeah.
And I had to get to that point of saying, wait a minute, I don't have all the answers. I don't have all the tools in my toolbox. And so I sat down with somebody because I wanted to enhance my toolbox. And so therapy gave me tools that I didn't have. It gave me a level of self-awareness. It gave me a chance to manage my emotions because, baby, if you wanted to see me go 0 to 100, I was going to do it real quick. You know, I got a nuck if you buck in my spirit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so because I know there's a crime mob
it's in
here.
There. It's in there.
Okay, because I know it's a trillville up in here.
Yeah,
you know, I had to go understand that I had to manage some things, you know, and that allowed me the opportunity to become, you know, increase my emotional intelligence. You know, my emotional IQ has been raised significantly because I have a lot of self-awareness. And so because of therapy, I recognized that it was okay for me to get quiet. Journaling became a huge tool for me. And I journaled. And so really when I wrote my book, a lot of my newsletters that I wrote every week was because I was journaling like all the time, just constantly writing out. And it was not like Dear Diary, today you know, it was me getting comfortable in my own skin, with my own emotions, with my own feelings, and knowing that they were okay because I'm an emotional being and I deserve to express myself. You know, I deserve to have feelings, you know? And so because I became okay with that, you know, things just started to shift in my life. My relationship started to shift. I became a better sister. I became a better friend. I became a better daughter. I became a better person because of it.
Is your sister your best friend? I always
see
you all together.
Yes, okay. Yes, okay. Yes. Shout out to Carly Raymond, Harvey Raymond.
So I don't remember this now. It's about a year ago. I don't know if it was you or your sister, but I want to say it. I don't know. Y'all spoke at Skittles Bakery. Somebody. I don't know if it was you.
Oh, my sister. Yeah, yeah.
She's like the comedian.
Yeah.
Oh, well, she's hilarious. She was us in there dying.
She's funny.
She
is hilarious.
Yes.
Like,
she wear hats too.
Yes.
All right, yeah.
That's kind of like a thing for us.
She had like a pink hat on it. Yeah. I remember it vividly. I'm like, yo. She's hilarious.
Funny. She is witty. She is the wittiest.
She's
person.
Funny. You're more serious.
I think so. Okay. Yeah. That
not
was,
serious, but you know, like you know, she was like a comedian that
but
day.
But she is
on the panel.
She is extremely serious. She is
like, she had an insurance agency.
She does. She has insurance agencies with her husband, Ben Raymond. Yep. Yeah. So they own insurance agencies here and out of the state.
Yep.
Yeah, so they're in financial services, and, you know, our lives took a shift because we have been together, you know, our whole lives. We made every move together, you know, and I was recently, like, talking, I saw these twins, they're going to different colleges, right? And I was like, do you think maybe we should have gone, don't even start that with me, Brandy, like, we are not them. We were not supposed to be separated, and I just feel like, you know,
what college y'all went to?
First 2 years at Hampton University and last 3 years at Ohio State, the Ohio State University. Okay. And so graduated from Ohio State, pledged Delta at Epsilon Chapter at Ohio
y'all
State.
Y'all both first two, then last three.
First two, last
y'all
three.
Both,
yes, at Hampton. Yeah.
What made it the extra year?
Delta sent with that. Okay. College was so social. Okay. It was a social experiment in my life. You know, college was a social experiment.
You recommend college now? Is it needed as it was?
I think that it's necessary for who feels that it's necessary for them, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I think that there are some people who need to go to college, right? Yeah. But I also understand now with the experiences that I've had that it's not for everybody, you know? I think that my sister, you know, she wanted to be a chef when we were younger. And I remember my mother telling her, like, absolutely not, right? But that was in a time and place where you didn't, like, that wasn't deemed a, like, you know, great profession, right? Mm-hmm. For some people. And, you know, a lot of times our families, you know, when we look, especially as Black families, we don't want our kids to go in service, right? We're like, oh, you should be a lawyer, you should be a doctor, even though those are service, right? We feel like they should be doing something else that sounds better for them to tell their friends, you know? And she wanted to be a chef at one point, and then she wanted to do hair. And so after we graduated, she went to Vidal Sassoon to be a hairstylist, and we lived out in Los Angeles. She worked at Elgin Charles in Beverly Hills for a couple years. And
is that a hair salon?
Yeah, was in Elgin Charles. Like, he was a legend in the LA hair scene. Okay. You talk about wigs and units, honey. He had the game on lock back then.
Yeah.
Okay, and all the celebs went to, you know, the Black celebs went to his salon. So she trained under him, and I was a high school teacher. Mm-hmm. And so I taught high school.
What subjects were your?
High school history, grades 10 through 12. And I was also a personal trainer, group fitness instructor. So all of those things, you know, I think that us staying together in a lot of ways where we protected each other, you know, we knew that we would be each other's rock, each other's balance. You know, we checked and balanced each other a lot. I think there was a lot of stuff that I probably didn't do because my sister was like, don't you dare, you know? So I always had somebody who was looking out for my best interest. And thank God, you know, I didn't have social media because then I just.
Yeah, social media is crazy. Social media is crazy.
Thank God.
What are, you're an avid reader. What are your top three personal development books that people should tap into?
Top three books. Discover the Power Within You by Eric Butterworth. Mm-hmm. I think I gave you that one when we were at the house.
Yep.
That book really talks about everybody's own divinity, you know, the Christ in all of us. Discover the Power Within You by Eric Butterworth. Marianne Williamson, Return to Love. I read that book probably about 5 years ago for the first time, and I probably read it every year since. You talk about surrender. You talk about making a way for your life, for the love to flow in your life. I love that book. And then my third book would probably be The Untethered Soul by Michael Singer. And that,
and you told me that too. So the books doesn't change.
No, they're pretty standard. Because that book was given to me by my therapist right before I went to the silent meditation retreat in 2017. Mm. And she gave me that book. And I started the book, and then I started listening to it on the way up to the mountains, on the drive up to the mountains. And I was going through this, like, God is going to give me a sign of what my business is going to be called, like what this next venture. And there was this, the name Beyond Her came, and it was because BH, my initials are BH, and, you know, this journey beyond. And I was on the, you know, roll listening to it, and then I get back home from the meditation retreat, and a week after I finished the book. But when I got towards the end of the book, it talked about the journey beyond and how we find ourselves beyond and what awaits us in the beyond of what we cannot see in that supernatural state of our lives. And the whole time, I did not know that on the front of the book, the subtitle was had beyond. Right? The journey beyond. It was like something beyond in the subtitle. I literally have this whole like moment at my kitchen table, and I'm like, oh my God, this is the sign. This is it. And so it really is about taking the journey beyond ourselves into ourselves, you know, silencing the voice, that roommate that we all have up here. And if we silence the roommate, you know, we get to live out the dreams that and the plans that God has for us.
And that's a man, that silence and that voice sometimes can be...
It's loud.
It is.
It's loud, and it never turns off.
I was sitting there earlier, and I was like saying one of my affirmations, but as I was saying it, it wasn't actually happening right now in where I was at. Like, I'm living in so much peace, but I'm stressed. But I got to keep saying this isn't the affirmation, is a different one I won't share, but I was saying the thing that wasn't really happening, but you got to just keep speaking that thing until it happened and working towards it. So I've just learned that. I mean, I've been in personal development now in over 15 years, from the books to Who Moved My Cheese, Power of the Subconscious Mind, Think and Grow Rich, The Secret. Like I've learned that this is not an overnight thing.
No.
Conquering oneself is a journey.
Yeah, self-mastery.
Self-mastery. It's a full-time job.
That's the job, though.
Yeah.
That's the job. Yeah. And that's where most people miss, because they think that it's going to be the employment outside.
Yeah.
They think it's going to be the accolade outside.
Yeah.
But when we start to master the levels within ourselves, when we start to understand that we're here to unfold, to uncover, to discover all of the things that we have been sent here on this earth. You know, I tell people all the time, like, you came down here to Earth School, right?
Unfold, uncover, and discover. That was a bar. Yeah. Yeah. I like that.
You know, but you're here in Earth School.
That's a fact.
You know, you're here in Earth School. And some days we are the student, but some days we are the teacher.
Yeah.
And so in this journey, we are here to be the student and the teacher each and every day. We get to show up as a demonstrator of what God's love is, about his power, about his grace, about his mercy. We get to show up in that way. But we get to show other people by our actions, by how we do, what we say, how we make them feel. That's what we have the power to do.
Yeah.
And so when you come down here to Earth School, baby, it is not, I'm not going for remedial. I'm not going for elementary. Give me the PhD course. Sign me up for the next level, top level, because that's where I know I'm supposed to be. I'm supposed to be at the top. I'm supposed to be above and not beneath. I'm supposed to be the head and not the tail. See, we say this in a cliche way, and we say this because it sounds good. Yeah. But when you start to believe it, and you start to sit with a different type of posture, when you start to elevate yourself and put yourself in different scenarios, in different rooms, and get uncomfortable and make yourself uncomfortable so that you can elevate, baby, that's when your life shapes up. That's when you start to see some results. That's when you start to see the results. We looking for results as soon as we start doing a bicep. Soon as you start doing some triceps, you expect to see a result. No, baby, I got to keep repping it out. Yeah. I got to keep repping it because that's the reward. Yeah. The more I rep, the bigger my reward. The more I show up, the bigger my reward. The more I show up, the bigger the advantage. Mm. That's what I get to do. But see, I get to do this. Yeah. See, when you got an understanding that I get to do this, I've been blessed to do this. Yeah. I've been called to do this, but I get to do this. Yeah. See, most people don't get it because they don't understand that you get to do this workout. You get to do this podcast. You get to run this business. You get to be a father. You get to be a wife. You get to be a mother. You get to do this. Baby, you will show up with a different posture. You will show up with a different elevated spirit because you understand that I've been gifted, and so I get to do it.
Whew. That's crazy.
You know what? I wasn't trying to come on here and preach in this thing.
Preach.
I don't
preach,
know how
sister.
To be another
preach,
way.
Sister.
I don't know how to be another way.
Yo, listen. No, talk it. And it's so funny you say it. And I was taking my daughter to school. And I'm not a morning person. I just started being a morning person. I wake up to play ball. We're at the gym at 5.
I'm
at the gym today at 5:30. Today,
yeah, y'all right? Be out there playing.
Yeah,
with y'all a G League? What y'all like?
Yeah, we more like a Z League. You know what I'm saying? We a Z League. So, and I was like, I don't feel like taking my daughter to school. Hmm. And then I changed it from, instead of saying I gotta take her to school, I get to take her to school.
Yeah.
That one switch and it changed from I got to I get to.
Yeah.
I gotta go to the gym. I get, you know, there's someone who may be in a wheelchair that want to go to the gym and do it the way you do it. And at this moment, they're not able to do it. Yeah. You know how good they.
Yeah.
I got to call my mom. There's somebody who don't have their mom. I get to call
to
my mom.
I get to do this. Like,
it changes everything. That's a small little adjustment that could
that
open
changes
up.
Your life. Mm. Because I get to. Mm. And see, when we understand that, that's when we reclaim our power.
Yeah.
Because we got control of the story that we get to write. See, yeah, maybe some stuff was given to you. Maybe some stuff was heaped onto you in your childhood. Maybe some stuff came your way that you didn't have no control over. But in this season, you get to write a new story. I get to change the way the ending is. Baby, I get to do this.
Yeah.
You're going to see me write a whole new narrative. I got a bestseller in me. I got a classic coming. Baby, quit messing with me because you ain't seen nothing yet.
That's good. And no matter where you are at either, like things could change in a short period of time.
And we get to do it. And I think like, you know, when people talk about me being in the gym every single morning, it's because
5 days a week.
I train 5 days a week, but I move my body every day.
Yeah.
Every day, move your body. You know, like we really don't, you know, I live.
When you say train, I know you used to be in.
I used to be
in competition.
Yeah, I used to be a fitness.
So
competitor.
When you say train, is that you working out? You're training for something.
I'm training
actively.
For life.
God, okay.
I train for life. Mm. I stay ready so I don't have to get ready.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, I train for life. You know, when I go to the gym every single morning with my training partners, I train like I am a bodybuilder. Yes, I train. I lift heavy. You know, and most people are like, oh, I don't want to do that, but I like hard things, you know? I like starting my day off and knowing I just did some stuff that most people would deem impossible.
Yeah.
I just carried some weight. I just lifted some stuff that people thought, man, that's too heavy. But I am wired for hard things.
Yeah.
And so because I know that I start my day off with that, the rest of the day gets easier.
Yeah.
Because look at what I just did. Look at what I just lifted.
Yep.
That means my shoulders can carry what's coming in the rest of the day. That means my legs can withstand what I'm about to confront in the rest of my day. And so I train like this because I train for life. I'm preparing myself for the marathon of that which I am running. You know, I look at my life at almost 42 years old, and I am blessed because I know that I want to still be able to move. I'm going to still be able to move and bend down and get drop down and get my eagle on at 80. Hmm. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to still be able to do that. You know, I love Chef Babette. She is one of my mentors. Mm.
And
she's
like 72, right?
She's 73 years old. And this woman, like literally.
She's vegan, right?
She is vegan. And literally she is in tip top shape. She'll jump down, get them push-ups going. You know, she'll outrun everybody up in here, you know, and what she says is, I want to be able to run a hill. I want to be able to get down in my house and not have no life alert on.
Mm.
I want to be able to walk around. I want to be able to do lift my own body weight. And I look at that as the example, because we think that life starts to get, it starts to tighten up and your body gets to shut down. No, if you don't move it, it will shut down. If you don't move it, yeah, it get hard for you to bend down and touch your toes. But I'm not going to be that person because I understand that there's power in the movement of my body.
Yeah. Did you interview Dr. Bobby Price too?
I haven't interviewed Dr. Price yet.
He talks about movement.
Absolutely.
Like, get up and move every day. Get moving.
Yeah. You know, I live by the slogan, eat well, give a damn, move your body. You know, eat well, putting good food in your body, listening to good things, you know, making sure that what goes in is what comes out. Yeah. Give a damn about how you show up, how you are to people, how you treat yourself and how you treat others. But then that you move your body every single day, because it's imperative. We get one body. I don't care how many of y'all going down to Dr. Miami and how many BBL they handing out down there in the Dominican Republic. I don't care how many times.
Still move your body.
Baby, you're going to have to move it. Because once they transfer all that body fat to that one area, baby.
What about Ozempic? You still got to move?
You still got to move. You still got to move. And look, this is not a judgment on whatever path that you take, right? But we got to understand that it's not going to be a quick fix. You know?
Working out ain't a quick fix.
It is
that
not.
That thing is not easy.
It's not.
I only do cart, so I only play ball. That's about all I got. But I want to start working out more. Like, I want to start.
Okay,
Lifting weights.
Okay.
But I get to lift weights, right?
But you don't, okay, you have to find the thing, the resistance training that is going to be the thing that you like.
Swimming, not resistance, right?
You moving your body against water, absolutely. See, look at swimmers'
bodies. I only like to do things I enjoy, Brandy.
So
I'm at
do
a spot
the thing.
In my life. I play ball.
Yeah.
And my man just cut me. He said, yo, they even ball here. So I'm about to add another member. So now I have the ability to play 5 days a week. If I want to.
I tell people all the time, do the thing that you enjoy, because it's not going to feel like a chore, right?
Basketball ain't no chore.
But what I tell people, why muscle is so important on the body. You know, when I was 25 years old and I was a fitness competitor, shout out to my trainer, Rock Shabazz over at Rock Fitness. You know, he was my trainer when I was competing and he's still my trainer now. And you know, he said, Brandy, you know, why you keep muscle on the body is that the skin will lose its elasticity. And most people, they get overweight, right? And you see that they got that loose skin and their skin is stretched out because the skin has lost its elasticity. So the more muscle we keep on our body, the tighter we keep our skin, the better we, you know, our body is going to age, and how we talk about anti-aging and all these things. But I had a surgery back in 2022. I suffered with fibroids. I had a myomectomy. And shout out to my doctor, Dr. Hawkins. I did the surgery.
Fibroids is different from thyroid, right?
No, yeah. Okay. So fibroids is uterus.
Up here,
so. Yeah, okay, yeah. Okay. So that's a reproductive, female reproductive issue with fibroids.
Got it.
And there are, you know, benign tumors. They're benign tumors, so they're not cancerous tumors. But I had an overgrowth of them. And when I had the surgery, the next day after the recovery, Dr. Davis, who was her partner, came in to check me for recovery. And she said, you have the strongest abdominal wall. She was like, I mean, we cut through a six pack she was like, that's how I know you're going to recover so much better. But here's what I knew, and this is what all the research I did before I even had the surgery, was part of my recovery with the surgery that I knew I was going to heal quicker and faster because I had more muscle. I was already fit. See, most people don't understand that, yeah, we can talk about the vanity and the aesthetics of it, but oftentimes we're preparing ourselves and we don't even know why we're preparing ourselves. And so I had a level of muscle and a level of fitness that aided in my recovery for the surgery. And so after 4 weeks, I was back in the gym. And they said, oh, it's going to take you, you know, 6-8 weeks to even like fully recover and don't do all this movement. And she said, you are not bedridden. So the moment I got home from that hospital, every night, I walked up and down the hallways at my condo. I walked up and down every couple hours. I got up and I walked up and down the hallways, up and down. By week one, I was walking to the Starbucks, you know. By the second week, I was walking a mile or 2 miles. And I kept adding on. Then I said by week three, let me start seeing a little more movement, a little more movement. See, most people just get stuck because they refuse to understand that we've been gifted with these bodies and we only get one. There is no outside maintenance plan. Baby, you got to do the maintenance.
That's facts.
Yeah. And the muscle helps. Muscle helps. And as you age, it's the one thing that
the main thing I got to work on, as you say, is like I had surgery on my knee, tore my ACL meniscus, and it's just still weak. Like I got to isolate it. I just be being lazy, but I need to think about what if I can't use my knee? You know what I'm saying?
But there are so many resistance bands that you can use. There are so many things that do not add extra weight.
Yeah.
You know, you can use some of those resistance bands.
I just need
you
to do it, though. It ain't.
But you do have to do it.
Like, I could just do squats, but I got to do it. 100 of them a day or something. Like, just get.
You can do your body weight.
Yeah.
But we have to start adding in different things that really, when we talk about transforming our bodies comes with building muscle. That muscularity is how we transform our bodies. Cardio is never going to give us the look that we see all these other people having with these very lean and very muscular physiques.
You got to put some work in.
You got to put some
sweat
in.
They in that gym, hour a day. They're
in the gym. They're outside. They're on heels. They're, you know, they got resistance band. They're in their garages, wherever it is. See, most people think like you got to be in the gym. You don't have to. Start where you are, but just start. You know, whether you just got water bottles, whether you just got cans, whether you got just one band. Okay, I take that one band and I do arm exercises. I take that one band and I do arms, but then I take that one band and I do legs.
Yeah.
You know, you have to understand that we're always looking for what it got to be outside of me. Just start where you are.
Yeah.
Just start.
That's good. I love it. So as we begin to wrap up, what does VOLT stand for in Empowers? Tell everybody about your network, your show. I just realized I didn't know what that meant.
You know what? I didn't come up with the name. The name was already there when I came.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay,
the name was there when I came. But
what VOLT, do you interpret?
VOLT empowers that what we have. And I know Ashcash, he has an Inside the VOLT.
Inside the VOLT,
you know, and this was, you know, VOLT, I will say this. It was started as not a podcast. This was not how VOLT Empower started. It was a subsidiary. It came off of Act Like a Success.
Mm.
So my dad has a book called Act Like a Success.
Yeah.
And he had an academy. You know, that he started. And this was kind of like what morphed from Act Like a Success. And so when I came on board and we started creating the show, it was already an existing platform, but it wasn't, you know, thriving.
Yeah.
And it was really defunct. And I said, you know, I'm going to raise it from the dead.
And you did that.
So it's
fire.
Lazarus. So VOLT is really, it needs to be called Lazarus, honey, because we didn't raise it from the dead. But VOLT is really inside the VOLT, like the VOLT of your life, the VOLT inside of your mind, the VOLT inside of the things that you've done and how you share that, those stories that you tell, the lessons that you've learned. And you get to share that on our platform. And so I get to delve into the lives of some of the world's most influential change makers, like yourself, like Jamal Bryan, like Darius Daniels, like Ricky Smiley, you know, like Dr. Tracy Lynn, you know, Sint Marshall, all these phenomenal people who have come on the show. But
Kiana Watson,
yep. Tara Colin Smith, yep. You know, yep. The list, Jeremy Anderson, yeah. Halani, yeah. Laudel, like, yeah, you know, the list is a list. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. We popping over there, you know, so we got a list. So I think it's really, you know, to me, it means that you are stepping inside of the VOLT, inside of your mind and what you've been able to do and those lessons that you've learned. Now you get to bring people into your own VOLT, you know, of what made you successful.
And when they hear from you, they go on. Learn things that they haven't heard online yet.
No, they haven't, you know, but here we are out of hiding, you know,
out of hiding. Come out of hiding, y'all.
Come out of hiding, so, Brandi, and step into it.
Thank you so much for today's show. It was dope. I enjoyed it. I learned a lot, even about myself, just more things. I don't know if I got it in me yet for the retreat silent. I'm going to think about it. But just spending more time with myself, I think I need to do that. Sometimes what I do is I walk around the block and just talk to myself and talk to God. It's like a 15-minute running. That feels good when I do that. I'm like, but I normally do it when I get to a level of stress where, and I don't stress often, but when I do, that's something I do. And it just gives me.
Yeah.
But you mentioned something earlier about Like, don't wait till you at that point. Like, yeah. You keep your cup full. I'm not operating from depletion almost. So
yeah.
I want to just start walking, just to walk. Start doing a, don't get healthy because they diagnose you with something. Like, get healthy now. So get the elasticity working now. So if those things come, it won't.
Yeah.
Just roll right off.
Don't wait till your back is against the wall and you're out of options.
That's it.
There you know, go. Until you're out of options.
Yep.
And science has proven that 15 minutes in nature every single day changes your mood. It changes how your perspective on things. And so if you took 15 minutes to go take that walk and go talk to God and run some things out of your mind, then look, you've already taken your life to a new level.
Yeah, that's good.
I think it was starting with 15 minutes every single day of silence, 15 minutes of quiet, of recalibrating your mind, of your life. You know, we have the power. We have the power. We are not powerless. And there is nothing outside of us that we have to plug into and tap into. You got direct. You got the direct hit to the plug.
Yep, to the source.
To the source.
Well, thank you so much. Let everybody know how they could tap in with you and stay in touch with all the amazing things you got going on.
I'm on Instagram at I am Brandy Harvey. You can follow me on Instagram and be sure to check out Vault Empowers every Thursday at 10 a.m. on YouTube. We drop a new episode.
Listen, y'all, this was an amazing episode. Please follow Brandy. Please tap into her show. By far, one of the most amazing shows out there. And we'll see you on the next show. Peace. Hey, thank you so much for tuning in this episode. I hope you're getting extreme amount of value. I want you to go ahead and comment below, share with me your biggest takeaway. In addition to that, my number one goal is for me to be able to grow all of my social platforms so I can give you info, insight, strategy, and gain from every platform there is. So take a minute to follow me on Instagram at Neil DeViso, same exact name on Twitter, same exact name on TikTok, and follow me on LinkedIn at Nehemiah Davis. I would love for you to be able to be tuned into my articles and everything that I drop relating to helping you get to that next level in your life. Tune in.